So today we are having His Grace Rama Girdhari Prabhu to enlighten us on Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Yes, Mataji, I am present.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much Prabhuji for giving your valuable association. So now you can take over the class. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Today we are reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 19, Text Number 188 onwards. Pancharasa stai vyapi rahe bhakta mane, sapta gauna agantuka paya karane. The five direct transcendental mellows of devotional service are permanently situated in the heart of the devotee, whereas the seven indirect emotions appear suddenly under certain conditions and appear more powerful. Text 189. Shanta Bhakta Navayogendra Sanakadi Ara Dasya Bhava Bhakta Sarvatra Sevaka Apara. Examples of Shanta Bhaktas are the nine Yogendras and the four Kumaras. Examples of devotees in Dasya Bhakti are innumerable, for such devotees exist everywhere. Purport. The nine Yogendras are Kavi, Havi, Antariksha, Prabudha, Pipalayana, Avir Hotra, Dravida, Chamasa and Karbajana. The four Kumaras are Sanaka, Sanandana, Sanat Kumara and Sanatana. The servant devotees in Gokula are Raktaka, Chitraka, Patraka and so on. In Dwaraka, there are servants like Daruka. And in the Lord's pastimes in the material world, there are servants like Hanuman. So we will discuss this 88 and 89. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadhi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So today we are discussing from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila Chapter 19 Text 188 and 189. The context is that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is preaching to Rupa Goswami. So this Rupa Siksha, as we mentioned in the last session, is one of the very important contributions and very vital for our devotional growth. And for the past 50-60 verses, we have been hearing about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explaining about pure devotional service, and he explained about Bhakti Creeper. He explained about how this Bhakti Creeper, when it is nicely nurtured, can penetrate this material world and eventually reach Krishna's lotus feet. And now he is going into the finer details of pure devotional service. So he explains in this current set of series for the past few verses about 5 different types of devotions. Last week also we were in the similar topic. So he is now starting to give example, which we were trying to do last week. He is now starting to give example about each of these rasas, how each and every rasa are unique, and how through these rasas devotees have been serving the Supreme Lord and the Lord has been reciprocating with them. Unlike Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhurya, Shantarasa is a kind of a neutral rasa where the person in the Shantarasa has not yet fully developed the personal relationship with the Krishna. He has not yet developed loving relationship with the Supreme Lord. He has developed respect. He has developed subordinate in terms of accepting the supremacy of the Lord. But still, the understanding is about Lord being great and nothing beyond that. So, Sanat Kumaras, when they were created by Lord Brahma, they were asked to do creation and they denied the proposal and eventually went into meditative mood. And they were in Shantarasa because they were kind of an impersonalist when they were initially a devotee. Only when they got the fragrance of the Lord's garland, their devotion or the devotional seed in their heart started to fructify. So it's very interesting that how this devotional service is trying to penetrate all our materialistic logic, and this materialistic logic, when they get completely crushed, then the actual devotional service starts. We discussed that 6 phases also. So these Shantarasa, Dasirasa, Sakyarasa, Vatsalirasa, Madhuryarasa, the reason why we just picked up the first and second one is that is something that we have to relate after being in Krishna consciousness for some point in time. For us to share the emotions of what Sakyarasa mean, what Vatsalirasa mean, what Madhurya Rasa mean, there are some additional qualification and additional depth in our devotion is required. But Srila Prabhupada, when he established this Krishna consciousness movement, when he gave the Siddhanta of Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, he had given a very basic principle by which our simple devotion could be awakened. And Prabhupada has mentioned that all of us in this movement are serving Radha and Krishna, even though they are in Madhurya Rasa, but we are serving as with awe and reverence, in Aishwarya Bhav. So technically speaking, our mood in doing devotional service at the sadhaka level is pretty much as dhasya, pretty much as servitor, pretty much as an understanding that Krishna is the master and we are his servants. As we develop our devotional sentiments, as we develop our devotional flavor, as we go deeper in our devotional service, we may be able to relish, we may be able to understand, and we may be able to even participate in this wonderful other moods. In fact, the current understanding that we have as Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead and we are his servants is much better than an impersonalist mentality, which is much better than Shantarasa. So this is the biggest contribution that Srila Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave upon us. Because of their contribution, because of their love, because of the knowledge that they gave, we went past the understanding of Krishna being an impersonal to understanding that Krishna being the supreme personality of Godhead. We are going to discuss some set of reflections today, and as a part of reflection, we will try to see how we can try to emulate these emotions within our heart, and how these emulating of these emotional feelings is not supposed to be artificial, and for that naturally we need to facilitate them, and for that a process is given. And we will understand the process, as well as we will also understand how we can reflect upon these wonderful pastimes or these wonderful emotions that are spoken about here in our devotional journey. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a set of 5 verses which are very, very important. I mean, there are all the verses are important, but there in the first canto, second chapter, there is a set of 5-6 verses. Shrinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridayantastohi Abhadrani Vidunotim Suhrut Satam. We have discussed this verse many times. If somebody hears Krishna Kata, attentively, if somebody hears the transcendental glories of the Supreme Lord, all the unwanted things in the heart gets washed away, and happiness gets installed in the heart of the devotee eternally. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. This is possible when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day. So when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day, then this particular emotional or devotional sentiments, devotional mood that are necessary to be inculcated will get slowly manifested in our heart. Then, while explaining, Srila Prabhupada explains, or Sukadeva Goswami explains, Vidyute Hridaya Granthaya Siddhyante Sarva Samsayaha Chiyantasye Chaya Karmani. So, it's like very nicely explained, Vidyute Hridaya Granthis. So, all the unwanted things, Sarva Samsayaha means all the unwanted things gets purified for a person who hears Krishna consciousness. So this is something not new that we have not heard of. But what is our reflection here? Our first reflection, when we are dealing about pure devotional service, when we are trying to discuss about the subject matters which are beyond our sadhana bhakti, is to somehow or other, we need to cry. Our mood of devotional service should be like a child crying for mother. This has been very nicely explained in various places. And in one place, Gaur Govinda Maharaj is explaining that we have to start a crying school. What is this crying school all about? He says, the entire Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara, the entire Siddhanta, the entire process of devotional service have been very nicely spread by somebody crying. If you see right from the beginning, let us start from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu till now. We are sitting and talking Chaitanya Charitamrita because so many devotees cried. So now, this crying, what does this cry actually mean? I have an acronym for this. This cry actually means consciously, repentantly, yearning for the loving devotion. Consciously, with repentance in our heart, we need to yearn and that cry for Krishna, that cry for pure devotional service, that cry for understanding a speck of what this wonderful leela is all about is actually devotional service. That cry itself is devotional service, and when you cry, you will be actually get exposed to devotional service. एक बार देख ले चक्षे जाल, एक बार देख ले चक्षे जाल, गौर बोले नीताय देन सकल संभाल. भक्ति विनोद अग्र सिंगिंग. एक बार देख ले चक्षे जाल. इफ नित्यानंद प्रभु सीज वंस टीयर वेलिंग इन द आईज ऑफ अ पर्सन हू इज चैंटिंग द नेम ऑफ गौरा, Sakala Sambhal, Nityananda Prabhu is giving that person everything. So our first reflection is to bring in a transformation within ourselves. And what Srimad Bhagavatam said about Vidyute Hridaya Granthis Chidyante Sarva Samsayaha. So for bringing in that change, when we hear Krishna Katha, we need to actually inculcate the mood of crying. So consciously, if it, all this, each and every word in this is relevant, we should not just yearn, which we all. We should yearn, and we should yearn repentingly. Why we are repentingly? Because we have been constantly making mistakes. How much ever we have been taught about this Krishna consciousness, how much ever we have been given this opportunity, how much ever we have been given a exposure to the transcendental subject matter, still, like a hog going to eat stool, our consciousness is going towards materialistic lifestyle. In another song, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is singing, Kabe habe bolo, Chaydinamal, Aparada guchi, Sudaname ruchi, कृपा बोले कबे हृदय संचार. If you do not know that song, please look for that song in the song book. It's a very nice song. In that song, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is questioning himself or trying to help us questioning ourselves. कबे हबे बोलो से दिन अमार. When will the day be mine when I can be able to offenselessly chant the holy name of the Lord? Kabe Nityananda More Koridoya. It's a very nice song, beautiful song. So the message here is, the reflection here is, that in our journey of Krishna consciousness, somewhere, when we become serious, or when we are trying to read Chaitanya Charitamrita, when we are trying to delve deep into the subject matter of pure devotional service, we need to know that it is not some ordinary subject that we can skim through on the layer. We need to dive deep into the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's why Srila Prabhupada said, Chaitanya Charitamrita is a postgraduate study. It's a PhD study for someone who is in this devotional life. So hence our first reflection is that for us to emulate, for us to reflect, for us to even understand pure devotional service, our spirit and the consciousness should be in the mood of crying, consciously, repentingly, and yearning for pure devotion of the Supreme Lord. It is not easily provided. It needs a special mercy of Vaishnavas and also Shraddha from the Sadhaka. Mercy is a component, an endeavor, something is that we need to put in together to attract the mercy. But now, a very obvious thing is that, Prabhu, we have been in Krishna consciousness for so many days, and we do cry. We do cry when we stand in front of Krishna. We do shed tears when we pray to Krishna. But here, what we are speaking about is not crying because of some stress. We are not talking about cry because of some materialistic problems. It is not we are talking about crying because of some problematic situation in our life. It's not crying because of where we are helplessness. Fine, that cry is okay. Because when we are helpless, when we do not know how to, you know, get out of this problem, we go to Krishna and cry. That's out of need. But the cry that has been expected is to go and cry to Krishna to make us useful and become, make us an insignificant servant at his lotus feet, the lotus feet of his devotees. In that way, our personal desires are kept aside and our motive is to glorify the Supreme Lord and serve the Supreme Lord. So that is the mood that is expected out of a sadhaka if he wants to move forward in his Krishna conscious journey. So that's our first reflection. So consciously, repentingly, yearning for pure devotional service is something that we need to inculcate in our journey of Krishna consciousness. Hence, our entire movement, if you see, from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to all the Goswamis, to Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das Thakur, to Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, Gaur Krishna Das, if you see all the Acharyas, including Srila Prabhupada, each and every soul, each and every single devotee has been added to this movement by some drops of tears shed by them. And we as a sadhakas, as practitioners, should understand that our duty is to take that mood forward, not because of moroseness, but because of despondency, urgency, and our eagerness to serve the Supreme Lord. This is our first reflection in our verse today. The second reflection is that if we cry, generally we say that Prabhu, in case of all the other so-called devotees that we discussed, they had different good fortune to associate with so many self-realized souls. But in Kali Yuga, in our current context, in our current congregation, where do we search for Narada Munis of the world? Where do we search for Rupa Goswamis of the world? You know, if I had been, getting an opportunity to hear from, such people, then we would have also, got that, devotional emotions. So it is very nicely explained that in our devotional journey, if we are very strong in our basic sadhana, and if we are very conscious enough in getting rid of our propensity to commit offenses, then 95% of our spiritual obstacles, all the obstacles in the spiritual journey, gets completely cleansed. Since we don't give attention to these details, or we overlook, or we get familiar, or we get complacent, as we spoke last week, we may not be able to appreciate, we may not be able to realize, we may not be able to see the devotional sentiments manifest in our heart. So we start to question, oh, probably this Krishna consciousness is not working. There was a disciple of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. So this disciple happened to go to London. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj had this desire to spread this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. So he chose one of his disciples and he sent him to London. And over here, the devotees used to work very hard, collect a lot of money. This is much before Srila Prabhupada went overseas. So back in India, a lot of devotees used to collect a lot of money. And they used to send money to this devotee in London who used to be there for spreading Krishna consciousness. So after maybe a couple of years, he tried there. He could hardly make one person a devotee. So then he came back and met Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. He said, Guru Maharaj, there is something wrong in your Siddhanta. There is something wrong. We need to adjust our philosophy to suit it to the acceptance level of Western devotees. So this person has an audacity to come and tell Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj that what he taught or what he is trying to inculcate is not something practically possible. just few years later, it so happened that this person happened to commit a lot of offenses at the lotus feet of his spiritual master, and eventually he was rejected. So later, Srila Prabhupada went overseas and he did a miracle that no other person in the world could have created that miracle. So once a Gaudiya Math sannyasi was giving a presentation in Orissa. So when he was giving a presentation in Orissa, he was showing different pictures of preaching activities around the world. So when he was showing these pictures, there was one picture where devotees were chanting in front of Eiffel Tower in Paris. So when the picture was, it was a, you know, still projection, an overhead projector, the traditional one, older one. So he stopped the presentation and he said that, "I want to share something, my personal realization." So he said that so many of us tried to present Krishna consciousness to Western devotees, and nobody could make even a single devotee, because nobody could convince a person to give up any one of the four regulative principles. But you see these wonderful smiling devotees in front of Eiffel Towers. This is the contribution of Goswami Maharaj, because amongst Prabhupada's god brothers, Srila Prabhupada used to be called Goswami Maharaj. So this is the potency of Goswami Maharaj, because he had absolute faith in the words of his spiritual master. So hence the first reflection is about crying. So we need to somehow or other prepare to cry. There is a book called Japa Reform Diary by His Holiness Satsurup Maharaj. In that Japa Reform Diary, Satsurup Maharaj is writing, each and every one of us should chant our Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in Satya mood, like a child crying for the mother. And further he writes that if you are not able to get cry while you are chanting, you please cry to the Supreme Lord to help you cry while you chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. If you can't even do that, you please cry to make you cry for crying for the Supreme Lord's mercy. So this is a very confidential subject. We don't tell this on the first day of anybody's Hare Krishna movement. We say this is Kevala Ananda Kanda. And yes, we still maintain that this is Kevala Ananda Kanda. But to access that Kevala Ananda Kanda in the real sense, to get into the core, sweetest pastimes of the Supreme Lord, we need to learn to cry. So better, if you are students of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, let's try to inculcate the spirit of consciously. Why consciously? We spoke last week and few weeks before. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned this. Jnana karmadi anavritam. That's what consciously means. We should make sure that there is no single percentage of personal desire involved in our devotional sentiments when we are moving progress. We had all the, you know, mishras. We had karma mishra, we had jnana mishra, we had so many of adulteration, we have aparad, namaba, so many things we are going through. But we need to know when we are journeying forward, we need to make sure that we don't get adulterated, and our purpose should be very, very clear, and it is to please the Lord's devotees and eventually serve the Supreme Lord. So hence consciously, Jnana karmadi anavritam anya abhilashita sunyam. That's why consciously. Why repentantly? Because every day our propensity is that we are somehow or other offending the Supreme Lord or offending Krishna's devotees, knowingly or unknowingly. When knowingly, unknowingly, when we do an offense, when we do an aparad, then we need to inculcate the mood of repentance. Otherwise, we will not have a, you know, servitor attitude. A servant means humble. Humility means, last week we discussed, that how to serve and appreciate Vaishnavas. And yearning is naturally, that is what the slokas that we have been discussing and all the examples that we are discussing is having them. So our second reflection is that when we cry, what happens? How does this Leela get manifest? For that, very nicely, one of the Gaudiya Vaishnavacharyas is explaining, all the great saints, all the great Gaudiya Vaishnavacharyas, whilst they are there in the material world, when they were practicing here, right here, this Kali Yuga, when Mahaprabhu appeared, even though they were physically present, their consciousness used to be so much absorbed in the Leela of the Supreme Lord that in external circumstances would never matter to them. So the result of devotion done out of cry is external circumstances become oblivious to us. No external situation would bother us. No external situation would hinder us. No external situation would affect a person's journey in Krishna consciousness or his devotion in Krishna consciousness. So the second reflection is to understand how to practice also. So when I was in Vrindavan this time, we were discussing Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So as a part of the discussion, we introduced a new term for devotees, which is called Delphi. So we were discussing, nowadays is a scenario, everybody is after selfie. The selfie scenario is that we take our picture in a mobile camera. We try to keep looking at them again and again. It has become such a craze that people are so conscious about their looks and feels that they tend to forget where are they even present when they are in that state. It is an irony that I was in Radhakund. I think I shared this before in one of the classes. There were some devotees standing right in front of Radhakund and taking selfies of themselves. So I was just thinking that sometimes our bodily attachments become so intense. Our attachment to our senses, attachment to our own self becomes so strong that even after being in Krishna conscious, we are not realizing our constitutional position and still having a very strong affinity towards our external appearances. But then, if we do a devotional service, if we try to do a crying devotional service, then what happens is that selfie consciousness can get transformed to Delphi consciousness. What is Delphi consciousness all about? It's called devotional selfie. What is this devotional selfie all about? In a selfie, what we have is captured in an external picture. But in a devotional selfie, what happens in Krishna Leela, we capture within our heart. So it's other way around. What is the Leela that is happening, that the Leela that we are hearing, the activities of the Supreme Lord that we try to hear from bona fide source, we try to meditate upon them in such a way that the impression of them gets recorded within ourselves, that external situation become oblivious. This is called devotional selfie, in which we need to learn to somehow or other to develop this consciousness of impressing or giving the impression of Lord's pastimes within ourselves. All the unwanted things in the heart doesn't become any more important or they get washed away. So this Delphi, or maybe, this is something that I was teaching the students and I just thought I'll give a name to this. But whatever name you give, the point that I'm trying to say is, somehow or other, you try to draw the impression, draw the pastimes of the Lord within our heart. Kave Nityananda More Kori Doya. So it is singing Doyal Nitai Chaitanya Bole Nachre Amar Mon. So many songs I can go on quoting where Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying that when you chant the holy name of the Lord offenselessly, Nachre Amar Mon, they will come and dance in our heart. King Kulashekara is saying, Jihve Sri Krishna Mantram Japa Japa Satatam Janma Sapalya Mantram. He's selling his tongue. Ambarish Maharaj is an example of how to utilize all the nine senses, all the nine angas of devotional service. So there are a lot of such examples. I'll give a couple of examples of Delphi. Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami, because of whom we are hearing Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because Raghunath Das Goswami taught Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he narrated so many episodes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela to Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami in Radha Kund, because of which we are able to hear so many wonderful pastimes in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Raghunath Das Goswami was once in such a transcendental state that he actually did not eat for a few days. He did not eat in such a state. He was so fragile. All his disciples were so much concerned that Guru Maharaj is not eating for the past few days. But suddenly, one day, he developed stomach pain. So when he was shouting with stomach pain, all his disciples were wondering that he did not even eat, so probably it will be some sort of an infection or something like that. So they went and, you know, showed him to a Kaviraj. The Kaviraj said that your Guru Maharaj has eaten something very, very, you know, hot. I mean, not hot. I mean, he had a stomach upset because of eating so much of kheer. So all the disciples started laughing at Kaviraj, saying that he is a faulty one. So they went and checked with another Kaviraj. So he also said the same thing. They said that my Guru Maharaj has not got up from his seat for a few days, and why are you saying that he has eaten so much of sweet rice? But what had actually happened, that Raghunath Das Goswami went in his trance. He went and participated in Radha Krishna pastimes, and in the pastime there were wonderful kheer that was offered to Radha and Krishna were served, and he ate one whole katori full of kheer out of his ecstasy, because of which he got stomach upset. Narasimhananda Brahmachari, he was a poor Brahmachari. This Narasimhananda Brahmachari did not have necessary resources to travel with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Vrindavan. So Narasimhananda Brahmachari desired that somehow or other, I want to travel with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, serve him, be his servant all his journey. So he decided that he will stay in one place. And when he is staying in one place, he started to get into the meditative form. And in that meditative form, he started to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whatever way he wanted to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he started doing that. He said, on the way of Mahaprabhu's journey, I will plant a lot of wonderful trees which will give him cool breeze. I will throw a lot of lotus petals in the journey that he is going. I will serve him wonderful prasadam. I will fan him on the way. I will massage his lotus feet. I will sing some nice songs for him. I will give some lot of fragrance, I'll put a lot of fragrance for Mahaprabhu so that he can feel nice aroma. So like that, he is sitting in his room and constantly thinking how he can serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, when Mahaprabhu returned back from Vrindavan, he went to Narasimhananda Brahmachari and said, thank you, my dear sir. Your service was very nice. And he gave all the descriptions that Narasinghananda Brahmachari wanted to serve Mahaprabhu with. So this is another example, what it means Delphi. You don't need to come and cry and whine that I am in a very precarious condition. You can be wherever you are, so long as we are participating, taking admission in the crying school of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and start to cry, consciously, repentingly, yearning for the mercy of the Supreme Lord to serve Him, not for personal agenda, then what will happen? All those wonderful things, all those wonderful leela will be revealed in our heart. So we don't need to go anywhere. Krishna will reveal Himself. Krishna cannot be seen. Krishna has to reveal Himself. Our behavior should be such that Krishna can see us. We cannot see Krishna. Krishna has to be revealing ourselves. So our second reflection in our today's discussion is about Delphi. When you cry, you will have Delphi effect. If you don't cry, you will not have any effect. We have a very nice realization of Narada Muni speaking to Vyasadeva in the first canto, fifth chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Narada Muni narrated his entire life story. When he got the Mahaprasadam of Paramahamsas, when he did the opportunity to serve the great devotees, when he did menial service to him, he was a son of a Shudra. Because of his service to the Paramahamsas, he got a glimpse of darshan of the Supreme Lord in his heart. But for a few moments, that darshan was persisting, but then Lord vanished. And Lord said that in this life, this much only you can get. You please continue your yearning, and I will give you an opportunity where you can become a role model devotee. So when Narada Muni persistently yearned for the Lord's mercy, the glimpse that he was shown, the darshan that he received from Supreme Personality of Godhead, the darshan that he got for a few moments, he started yearning for it, he started longing for it, and he started crying, "My dear Lord, I would like to get that darshan for all the time." And for that yearning, he got an opportunity to eternally become the associate of the Supreme Lord. He became such an associate that he got all the leelas, all the time, all the confidential activities are only given access to such devotees, and that opportunity is very, very rare. So this is our second reflection. So crying leads us to Delphi effect. And our third is that there are five different layers of Delphi effect, which we spoke before, and I will just repeat it again. Jiva Goswami describes this in Bhakti Sandarbha. So what are the five different layers of Delphi effect? Smaranam, Dharanam, Dhyanam, Durvanusmriti, and Samadhi. All of them are remembrance about the Lord within ourselves. Smaranam means general remembrance. When I just remember about the Supreme Lord, generally, because I am, I've heard about the Supreme Lord, I am still not fully clean, I am still not fully purified, but still my remembrance is slowly kicking in. I am slowly starting to remember the Supreme Lord. But when we keep remembering, when we keep chanting, when we keep avoiding offenses, when we keep associating with Supreme, with Vaishnavas, then what happens is that this Smaranam becomes Dharanam. This Dharanam becomes fixation. Srila Prabhupada writes this in the 8th verse of Letter of Instruction, 7th or 8th verse purport, these 5 points. So he says that when you start more cry, the more Delphi effect manifests, and the second layer of Delphi effect is Smaranam ke baad Dharanam. So you get fixed. Previously we were just kind of, one amongst the other, but now I am little bit fixed, little bit stronger, little bit dominant in my thinking. Today, what is dominant in our thinking is I, me, mine. So the propensity is from I, me, mine, we try to somehow or other add Krishna because of our repeated association with devotees, and transformed the state called I, me, mine, and Krishna also. The stage of adding Krishna happens in Smaranam. But from Krishna also to the stage of Krishna only is what the journey is. So slowly, slowly we start giving up all our propensities and eventually Krishna gets completely situated in our heart. So dharana means fixation. We spoke about this elaborately in one of the earlier sessions. And from dharanam, our Delphi effect goes further deeper and it becomes dhyanam. In dhyanam, we start to further focus not about everything, but about one particular aspect of the Lord's Leela. Instead of thinking about Lord all over the place, now the devotee becomes more serious to an extent that he starts remembering only about one particular Leela, either Rama Leela or Gaur Leela, you know, Krishna Leela, or, you know, Vara. So many different devotees have different attachment towards different Leelas. And this way, your meditation becomes much more focused towards one particular form of the Lord. And it is very, very nice. In Gajendra Moksha 8.3.1, Srimad Bhagavatam purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that Raja Indradyumna in his previous life, I mean, Gajendra in his previous life was Raja Indradyumna, he had a habit of regularly reciting prayers. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, we encourage all our devotees to regularly recite various prayers and meditate on the form of the Supreme Lord. Even though our prayer might be imperfect, even though our pronunciation may be imperfect, even though our tendency may not be completely pure, but this habit of regularly reciting prayers helps the practitioner, if not in this life. Prabhupada makes a fantastic point. He says, even if we happen to take birth as animal in our next life, because of whatever conditioning, even if he happens to become a janwar, an animal in our next life, this prayer will help us, and Gajendra is an ideal example. So, in our journey, we are definitely assured of our devotional journey, definitely assured that either our next birth will be in an aristocratic family or a Brahmana family so that we can continue from where we left. But we do not know how our karmic cycle is. We do not know what is our lifestyle, you know, our next life going to be. But this much Prabhupada said, that what you pray, even if you are not perfected, even if you happen to take birth as an animal, this prayer is going to help. So hence, Delphi effect has to be worked upon. And definitely, we have a lot of episodes like that. Jadabartha episode, Gajendra Moksha episode, so many such things are there. So this is Dhyanam. And Dhyanam gets further stronger into Dhruvanusmriti, Anusmriti. So it's very nice that this meditative spirit has become lifestyle. For Prahlad Maharaj, Krishna consciousness was not part of life. Krishna consciousness was way of life. For Hanuman, Krishna consciousness was not part of life. Krishna consciousness was way of life. And Hanuman is a fantastic example that Srila Prabhupada referred over here in the purport, that he is the one who can tell what Delphi effect is all about. Because he has kept Ram, Sita Ram in his heart all the time. He is constantly meditating about Lord Ramchandra. There is not even a single moment has passed that he has not remembered about Lord Ramchandra. His sense, his entire body, mind, intelligence, consciousness, everything is so much focused that Ram is his life and Ram is his goal. So Dhruvanusmriti is the stage where you are completely into it, and there is no traces of any other distraction. So Krishna consciousness or the spiritual consciousness has become your way of life, and you are fully So Dhruvanusmriti is more like a stage of bhava. And finally, the stage of samadhi is prema. So in samadhi, what happens is that the person does not have anything to do with this material world. Even in Dhruvanusmriti, it is like that. But if you know the difference between bhava and prema, that's the difference between Dhruvanusmriti and samadhi. So these are the five Delphi effects that Jiva Goswami is explaining. Smaranam, Dharanam, Dhyanam, Dhruvanusmriti and Samadhi. So in our journey of Krishna consciousness, we need to be definitely conscious. We need to be definitely sensitive that we are accessing a most interesting aspect of the devotional life, which is not being given access to many, many people. Only those who have got this Midas touch, touch of Srila Prabhupada, touch of Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, they have got this opportunity to access the secretest part of devotional life. This Chaitanya Charitamrita, not many people have got access to it. This Chaitanya Charitamrita purports, not many people who have access to it could understand it. This Chaitanya Charitamrita purports to have got access and understood, very less of us have started to apply it. And if you find a person who is applying it to it, please latch onto his lotus feet and our devotional life is set. So our journey is to find the lotus feet of a person who is already applying what has been spoken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So these are the three reflections or three set of realizations that I would like to share. The first realization is about cry. And our movement is, there are a lot of examples, we have discussed in the past, how Srila Prabhupada cried for this movement. This cry is not about desperateness in terms of, my endeavor is not successful. I did so much of endeavor, result is not me. There's nowhere I, me, mine. The crying is, Guru Maharaj wanted Krishna's name should be spread. When Prahlad Maharaj cried, when gopis cried, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cried and everybody cried, their cry did not have any personal agenda. Our cry has personal agenda. When we cry, there is something that we need. But we need to learn to cry without for our personal agenda to glorify the Supreme Lord. We need to somehow or other participate in this mood. Hence, our duty is to join this crying school very soon. If you have not joined yet, so please, somehow put in an application for joining this crying school. And for putting this application, there are some prerequisites. And those prerequisites, let us discuss in our next session. So we are going to discuss in our next session, Krishna willing, what are the prerequisites to put an application for joining the crying school. This crying school just need three applications. So those three applications, three qualifications that are needed to put yourself into this crying school. So what are those three? Probably, if possible, we'll discuss in our next class. To summarize our discussion today, our first reflection is to participate and to bring in Krishna consciousness closer to ourselves and to dive deep into the pure devotional service and start our journey towards anartha nivritti and further towards nishtha and forward. We need to somehow register ourselves in the crying school, and in the crying school, like a humor club, in the crying school we have to cry. So this cry is not about anything to do with our material needs. This cry is purely about how to become a useful servant in the service of the Lord. And when you do crying, and when we sincerely do that, just consciously, repentantly, yearning for the Lord's mercy to be part of His glorious movement. And if we do that, then we will have a Delphi effect. And what is the Delphi effect that we spoke about? Delphi effect means devotional selfie. Whatever pastimes that we hear, whatever wonderful things that we discuss about the Supreme Lord, that they get registered in our heart. So many of us, we may whine and say that, I forget, I tend to not remember. So many, we are very volatile in our understanding. But by this crying, that volatileness will go away and slowly all those wonderful Krishna Katha will get registered in our heart to an extent that we will be able to meditate on them. And last but not least, we discussed about five types of Delphi effect, which is Smaranam, Dharanam, Dhyanam, Dhruvanusmriti, and Samadhi. So these are the three sets of reflections. And while explaining this different rasa, Santa Rasa, Dasya Rasa, Srila Prabhupada is giving different examples of devotees. And all these devotees have done this. What we have discussed now is something, their lifestyle. You know, Hanuman and all those devotees, they have done this, and they have been an example in their life for how to emulate, how to be in their shoes, and how to get into that stage of devotional service. With this, I end here. If there are any questions or comments, we can discuss. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a nice class. Prabhuji, I have a question.
Yes.
We say about Shantrasa and Dasarasa. So I was thinking, like, when the grass in the Vrindavan, like when Lord Krishna comes, so grass or the soil becomes so soft so that Krishna can walk on it without any... Like, because he's not wearing any shoes, so the soil becomes so soft. So, they are in Shantrasa or Dasarasa because there is a sense of servitorship. So,
right.
How we can go?
According to my understanding, Shantrasa refers to only those devotees who are not yet developed. Prabhupada explained in the last set of few purports also, and even in the future he's explaining. Shantarasa refers to those people who have not yet developed a personal relationship with Krishna. So I wouldn't count, grass and trees and stones into Shantarasa. I do not know. Maybe somebody else can, we can clarify and tell. But my understanding is that if there is anywhere personal relationship with the Supreme Lord and in the mood of servitorship has come in, then it's Dasya. So generally, the reason I picked up these two guna, today is because it's a two logical cluster. Santarasa and Dasyarasa, because initially we are in Santarasa, but as we get closer to Vaishnavas, as we get closer to the Siddhanta given by our Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, we naturally develop on reverence and Dasyarasa, a mood of a servant, which can eventually be purified to a stage of Dasya. I'm not sure if that is our constitutional nature, if that is our Swarupa. Those are all futuristic topic. But with respect to Sadhakas, for us to understand, Santarasa means that which has only impersonal understanding and a neutral understanding. We are not considering Krishna as Jyoti, and neither we are understanding Krishna as a beautiful Shyam Sundar. We have an understanding about Krishna being eternal. We have understanding Krishna being all cognizant, but we are not as understanding Krishna as... So Sat and Chit aspect is understood in Santarasa, but Vigraha aspect is understood only from Dasya onwards. So Prabhupada explains that is the reason they are all more or less a Paramatma realized soul. So from that perspective, the grass and the stones and trees, according to my understanding, I do not know if I have to categorize them in Shantarasa, but I can still check. I'm not sure if I respond to you?
Yeah. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you
okay.
so much.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Thank you so much. And
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the very very nice realization that you were talking about towards the end of the class. And also about the crying and Raghunath Das Goswami's story. Everything. Very, very nice class, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Ma.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Anyone else wants to ask or add anything or any realization you want to speak about?
Okay. We can end.
Thank you all so much again. Vancha Kalpataru Bhascha Kripa Sandhu
Bhascha Kripa Sandhu Bhascha Patitana Bhavane Bhi Vaishnavi
Vaishnavi Moon Namaha Ananta Kota Vaishnavi Ki Jai Shri La Prabhupada Ki Jai Shri Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai His Great Rama Giridhari Prabhu Ki Jai Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna
Thank you so much Prabhuji Hare Krishna